This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Alfred Conaway, Nate Milton, and Marcus Vanderberg. So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport. The program is changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports podcast hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, joined by my partner in crime this week, Big Nasty Alfred Conaway. Looks like we're going to be running the two-man weave this week, Brother Alfred.
Yeah, conspiracy theorists may begin to think that me and Marcus are the same person because for the past couple of weeks, you've kind of...
Yeah, I think, you know...
alternated between us.
Yeah, you and Marcus are kind of like the sun and the moon, the light and the dark. Once, when one is present, the other cannot exist.
Shapeshifters.
Oh, man. But yeah, we got a lot to talk about this week. We got a quick show tonight, a little bit shorter, a more brief show, but just because it's short don't mean we can't pack a punch, because sometimes big things come in small packages like Dynamite, Nate Robinson, and Emmanuel Lewis, rest in peace. Emmanuel Lewis is still alive, isn't he?
I think he's somewhere around there.
I was thinking about Gary Coleman.
Gary Coleman has passed away sadly.
Yeah, because as we all know, life is short.
Oh, jeez. Mm. May God rest his soul.
Yes. But we're going to get right into the action, fresh off of the All-Star break, which we saw one of the craziest All-Star games in recent memory. It was just, you know, there's usually no defense in those games, Brother Alfred, but Blake Griffin was going ham.
Yes, Blake Griffin was indeed going ham. I mean, tell me what your thoughts are of this. I want to reserve judgment.
I mean, the All-Star game is basically just a video game. You know, you want to get the stars out there. You want guys to get their shine. I don't have a problem with it. I think out of all of the major All-Star games, it's probably second to the Major League Baseball All-Star game, but miles better than the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, and I thought it was a good game. I love that it was high scoring. People aren't going to really hold defensive NBA players accountable if a game is too high scoring because, you know, in NFL, you have defensive specialists who only play defense. In the NBA, it's a two-way sport. And guys like Carmelo, who don't play defense, can be some of the biggest stars in the game. I feel like the All-Star game needs to follow the Super Bowl rules to where you can lose and still win the MVP because I felt like it was a robbery. I don't even think the guy on the winning team received the proper MVP. I think that should have gone to Carmelo Anthony, who hit, what, 8 threes? And so, yeah, Blake Griffin was the best player on the court that night. And it was just unfortunate that he did not get the MVP. I thought he was robbed, even though they did lose.
Maybe if they had left it up to fan voting like they did with the celebrity game and Kevin Hart getting his third tainted MVP, which he gave to Army Duncan.
Kevin Hart, he's everywhere. I mean, maybe he's got the Academy voting now. I don't know how he continues to win these awards.
Oh, man. But speaking of awards, speaking of getting recognized and getting accolades, the thing we had to recognize today, Brother Alfred, was the NBA trade deadline. And some years you get a lot of whirlwind wheeling and dealing. Some years nothing happens. You know, everything pretty much stays status quo. And then you get years like 2014 where you had one major or at least semi-major trade and then a bunch of teams juggling contracts or, you know, freeing up cap space. So let's get to kind of the highlights from the day that was in the NBA, and probably, like I said, the most major trade, the trade that's going to mean the most not only when you pick up the newspaper tomorrow, but also actually on the court, the Indiana Pacers, who have been nipping at the heels of the Miami Heat all year, trade their all-star forward, who has, you know, been injured in recent years, Danny Granger, to the Philadelphia 76ers, and in return, they get Evan Turner and Lavoie Allen. So I think that's That's a pretty solid move for the Pacers. You know, it's not a lot of star power, but I do think depth is key, especially when you're going up against a team like the Heat. And I think this is a move that if the Pacers weren't serious contenders before, I think they're definitely serious contenders right now, Big Nasty.
Absolutely. And depth has always been the strong suit for the Pacers. But part of that depth was the fact that they always had Danny Granger in their back pocket, who had a very good rookie season and just kind of fell off because he couldn't really stay healthy, couldn't stay on the court after that. I do think that the Sixers might have gotten a little bit of the better side of that trade because they do get Danny Granger, who will now have more room to roam. But the Pacers or the Sixers are a very bad team, 15-40 in the Eastern Conference. I mean, if you're not able to get to the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, it's worse than being a bad team. You're at the bottom of the barrel. But I do like the Sixers' future. I think Danny Granger is in a good spot to rebound now that he doesn't have as many solid players in his way because, again, Indiana has depth, and there are players sitting on the bench who could start in many teams in the Eastern Conference. So to have Danny Granger, if you're the Sixers, teamed up with Michael Carter-Williams, I really do think, especially with their second-round pick that they got, they are going to be able to build for the future. And it's only going to be a matter of time before they're good again in the East because you see how bad it is. The NBA is cyclical, and the East isn't going to catch up to the West anytime soon.
Yeah, and I've always been a fan of Danny Granger. Like you said, if his only knock that you can put against him is health issues. But in terms of the Pacers, you know, LaVoy Allen's a solid player. He's a solid piece to the puzzle. But I'm really intrigued to see how Evan Turner fits into that mix, you know, with guys like Lance Stephenson, with guys like Paul George and Roy Hibbert. You know, Turner, I wouldn't say he's been a bust, but he's been a little bit underwhelming, at least in terms of my opinion of him. You know, he's averaged 10 points a game, 5 rebounds a game, and I believe 3 assists over, you know, his first couple years in the league. But I think if you put him in the right team, like he's not a guy that's going to uplift a team like Philly that was in such a sad state. But if you put him in a team with a lot of young, hungry guys, such as the Indiana Pacers, I think he could be an excellent player coming off the bench.
He does, and he's definitely going to have to take a reduced role because really he was having a career year this year, running pretty much what was a run and shoot in Philadelphia. And it was very limited coaching, just go out there and freewheel it. And that's going to be the complete opposite in Indiana with Frank Vogel out there. They play a lot of defense. They play a more slowed down, beat-em-up tone of offense and defense. And so to be on the Pacers, I think Evan Turner's going to have to adjust. He's not going to be the scorer that he was in Philadelphia, at least not this year, and he's going to have to come off the bench. So his numbers are going to see a dramatic decline. But if he's able to buy in, that team could be a championship team. Even before Evan Turner got there, they could be a championship team, and they're the biggest threat to the Heat. But I think now that Evan Turner's here, if he's able to adjust and able to get on board with that team, they're going to be as dangerous as anybody.
Yeah, let's quickly kind of hop around and check out some of the other deals that were made today. I think a deal that may not get a lot of press, but for a young team, I think it's a solid move, and it helps two young teams. You know, Denver, we've all heard Andre Miller's gripes, and he's been disgruntled for at least the past couple of seasons. They get rid of him, they unload him, and get Jan Vesely in return. They send him to D.C., and, you know, Andre Miller's not going to be the type of guy that's going to be like Chauncey Billups with the Pistons back in the days, be that veteran that puts the team on his back and takes him to that next level. But I do think he's a guy that at this stage of the game can give you quality minutes and also, probably more importantly, can be a mentor for a guy like John Wall.
Absolutely. And Andre Miller has still got a lot of game left in him. And the Wizards are hanging right in there. The Eastern Conference playoff race is something I'm really looking forward to, as bad as it is, just for the competitive standpoint, because past the top two seeds, when it comes to Miami and Indiana, that's a free-for-all. And there could be a lot of upsets. And the Wizards are right there in the thick of things as a team that could maybe serve up an upset if they make some headway. You know, right now at the 5 seed, they would play the Bulls if the playoffs started today. And with Andre Miller in there, a veteran presence who also is very talented, that series could go either way, honestly. With no Derrick Rose in Chicago, there's no locks outside of the top two seeds. So I think it's a very good move. It's not something that's going to be highly touted, but we could look back at the Wizards' playoff run, if they have one, and, you know, give credit to this trade that they just made.
Now, there's a couple more deals I want to touch on really quick. First of all, my Atlanta Hawks, gave up the draft rights to Cenk Okoye in exchange for, get this, this is news to me, and I'm a king of sports, so I got my hands all in the world of sports and entertainment. I know what's going on in the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, the WNBA, the Arena League, the Mexican lacrosse league. I got my fingers in all the pies around the world of sports.
Even Jeff Jarrett's unborn promotion.
Right, even Jeff Jarrett's unborn promotion. But I did not know that Anton Jameson was still in the league until about 3 hours ago, because the Atlanta Hawks gave away the draft right to Cinco Akoyo and received Anton Jameson and cash considerations, which I have no idea what cash considerations mean. Like, either give me cash or be considerate. Don't try to split the line. But Anton Jameson is now an Atlanta Hawk, so go crazy, A-Town, go crazy.
It's a nice little piece, and I did know that Anton Jameson was still in the league because he was recently a Laker, and L.A. Sports Talk Radio is everywhere, and they still talk about him because they really did love him down here when he was here for the limited amount of time, because Anton Jameson is somebody who gives himself to a community whenever he comes into town. He had some charities set up. He was always out in the public doing events. So, you know, it's good to hear Anton Jameson is
like a poor man's Battier.
Exactly. He's able to get some work. And, man, I thought Battier was a poor man's Battier. Really? You're gonna go – that's like a welfare man's Battier if you think that. But, yeah, it's a nice little piece. But, you know, right now the Hawks are trying to run for their lives from that seventh seed. And maybe this is just them thinking, listen, if we're able to at least get to the six and avoid the Heat or Pacers in the first round, maybe we can do something. So that's all I could chalk that up to.
Yes, and you mentioned La La Land, your beloved Lakers. I know it's a sad day for you, Big Nasty, and I'm even impressed you was able to come on to the podcast today, because Vino Blanco, the White Shadow, Steve Blake, is a Laker no more.
Vino Gonco.
Moving to the Warriors in exchange for Marshawn Brooks and the greatest cheerleader in the NBA today, Kent Bazemore. What do you think about that, Big Nasty?
I'll tell you what, it's a great trade if you're Steve Blake. He gets to stay in California. He gets to stay in a very active city, which will be in the Bay Area, just a hop, skip, and a jump away from L.A., and he gets to go on a team that really can compete for a championship. He was a glue guy for the Lakers. They got everything they could have out of him and more. Steve Blake is a guy who, if you look at his career at Maryland, he was a beast at Maryland and then kind of became a journeyman, so you could easily classify him as a bust. But that's not clearly the case, and you could see that he can play. When given a role, when he was able to just sit and shoot, and he wasn't trusted to run an offense, he could play. And so a lot of Lakers fans are sad just because – Steve Blake was a beloved guy, somebody the media was very generous to, and they never really blamed him for anything. And they loved what he contributed to the team from an intangible standpoint. But now that he's going to the Warriors, it's like, well, I don't feel too sorry for him, because he's getting out of this grease fire and onto another team that's ready to compete for a championship.
Yeah, yeah. And Steve Blake is a guy that, you know, especially living in this area in Hampton Roads, and, you know, just a hop, skip, and a jump away from D.C. and the Maryland area. You know, I was a big fan of Steve Blake. Back at Maryland, you know, it was him and Juan Dixon.
Yes.
They had that great back. Well, I was a big fan of those guys. And you know, you talk about him being a journeyman. He's been a journeyman in terms of moving from team to team. But every team he's been with, he's always, you know, he hadn't been a star, but he's been a quality guy in their rotation.
Right. And if you look at their careers, you would have thought if you were to pick one guy out of those two, out of that tandem, who's going to be the star, it was Juan Dixon. Juan Dixon was a Shawn Michaels, so to speak, of that group in college. But, you know, Steve Blake has done more with less, and you got to give up the guy because now he might have another championship.
Yeah. So, big move for Steve Blake and, you know, the Lakers, the story just keeps getting worse. Actually, I will say I talked to some Laker fans today who were disappointed. And I'm heartbroken about not getting some love today. But I think not getting Kevin Love is actually a blessing in disguise, because, you know, why not just wait until he's a free agent?
Right. No, and that's a great point. I mean, I don't know why people want everything now. I think,
like, what good does Kevin Love do to this current Lakers team? They're not going anywhere.
No, nothing at all. And the Laker fans really, they're not used to it. And this is one of the things that makes L.A. such a win-now town. And this is the reason the Lakers have so much pressure to win, because people won't show up to the games if they lose. But as long as they wait, right now they're on the right path. They had that hiccup with Kobe Bryant's contract, but now you see they're going to get a lottery pick in the most loaded draft in 10 years, and they're going to have a free agent or two. So at least by the next couple of years, they'll be competitive, and Kevin Love could be the most viable option for them.
Yeah, I would, you know, love, no pun intended, to see him in L.A. I think, you know, he's got a shot if that thing does go down and he does sign with them next year. You know, just him single-handedly will it be attractive to other free agents. And I think that's all you need, especially with Kobe, you know, having a year out and being able to come back healthy for one last shot. You know, I think that's an attractive couple of starting blocks right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, so were you in the crowd last night chanting Howard sucks?
No, I was not. I did not subscribe to that fanaticism. And I really, I can't believe the Lakers are still angry about Dwight Howard. It's just not in their fabric. It's just looking at the mighty have fallen. You know, the Lakers are the franchise that are supposed to be too good for everybody else, too good and too highbrow to chant something like that. But you see this impact that one player still had on this entire organization. I mean, they were mad at Shaq, but you didn't see this type of animosity. It's just like now that they're bad, it's sour grapes, and Dwight Howard is getting the brunt of that when really it wasn't his fault.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the NBA trade deadline, and you know, I'm looking forward to see how things go in the stretch run in the National Basketball Association. Will the storylines kind of stay the course, or will one of these young teams, will maybe the Warriors, maybe the Blazers, will they step up and ascend to the throne? Or again, will it be the same old, the Spurs, the Thunder, the Heat? You know, so it'll be interesting, and I definitely look forward to that. So we had to start it off with some fun talk, some NBA talk, because this next topic is not going to be fun at all. But, you know, we do cover, you know, timely topics and newsworthy topics, and this is certainly both. And it is a sad story. Even if nothing else is true, just the video that we've seen from this. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, of course, this is the Ray Rice incident that TMZ was reporting. And, you know, it's kind of been the talk of all of the blogs and talk radio today and all the talking head shows on the Four Letter Network. So for those that don't know Big Nasty, kind of fill them in on what's been going on with Ray Rice of the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, the latest update is that TMZ Sports obtained footage of Ray Rice dragging his fiance out of an elevator in an Atlantic City casino. This stems from an altercation where Ray Rice was charged with was alleged of domestic assault. And it was really initially began to be described as simple assault, to where both couples admitted to hitting each other. But as the story went on and as more began to be revealed, you saw that it got uglier and uglier, to where there is now surveillance footage of Ray Rice literally dragging his wife out of an elevator. She is unconscious, knocked out cold. She eventually does come to, but as she does come to, he just walks off. So it's another very sad story. Another story where it looks like another NFL player has allegedly been guilty of domestic assault. And we don't know everything yet, but this is not a good look for the NFL. But if you think things are going to change, I think you better not hold your breath. Nate, what do you think about this situation?
Yeah, and, you know, again, let me preface this by saying, you know, we don't know all the details. The video certainly is not a good look. Apparently, the two of them had been drinking, which always, you know, can cloud judgment and lead to rash decisions. Ray Rice pretty much has been a model citizen for his, you know, entire career in the NFL, even going back to Rutgers. You know, you never heard of this guy getting into any off-the-field incidents or anything dealing with drugs or alcohol or, you know, anything like that. He's always been open to charitable events. In fact, I think this weekend he was doing something for the Humane Society or something like that in Baltimore, and they had to I don't know if they canceled the event or they just canceled his appearance, but, you know, that's the type of thing that he does within the community. And so when this story first broke, you know, it seemed out of place. But, you know, the footage is not a good look. If you go and you watch it, you see he just kind of drags her. She's just unconscious, like she's just dead weight. And he's just dragging her out of the elevator and you know, showing no regard for this woman. So I don't know what occurred in the elevator or what occurred in the bar that they were at, but if he did put his hands on her, if he did strike her, let me clarify, if he did punch her and that led to the state that she was in coming out of the elevator, not only, you know, the NFL is going to be the least of his concerns because I think that's automatically a year suspension. But legally, you know, that we could see Ray Rice go down for a while.
We could, but the cynic in me says that we've seen various incidents where players have been, whether it be a sexual assault, whether there's smoke and there's fire and it looks like something's going on, that are very similar to the Ray Rice situation, and they've been either suspended for a couple games or the NFL looks like it tries to sweep this under the rug, because one of the harsh realities is that the NFL seems just above being punished and being castigated for a very obvious, blatant player problem, citizenship problem. You see all these players in the offseason in the NFL, and this is something we were talking about last year, this time last year over the summer, whenever the NFL players are made to go out into society with all the normal people, it's like they don't know how to act. They take that helmet off and they become a different person. And I think it's because of that identity that is concealed with that helmet that they are able to get away with this type of behavior. And it's just a TMZ story on the back pages and people easily forget about it. So yes, Ray Rice is facing some pretty stiff penalties. But again, like I said, when I was introducing this, don't be surprised if this kind of just goes away and they're able to reconcile and nothing to see here.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we said, there are a lot of allegations right now. There's a lot of this narrative that needs to be filled in. You know, again, like I said, there's no reason. And, you know, this goes, I think, for everybody, whether you're an athlete or not. You know, if you're a man, if you're a dude, unless your life is physically in danger, you know, you can't strike a woman, you know?
No.
It's like, what the old Chris Rock joke, you know, you want to hit her, but you can't. You can
There's
shake
a reason.
Her.
Just don't do it.
You know, like, you can shake her, but you can't hit her. You can push her off of you, but you can't hit her. You know, so it's like, I don't know. Again, like I said, alcohol can turn a choir boy into, you know, a crip.
Yeah.
For lack of a better analogy. And, you know, like I said, Ray Rice has been a model citizen. He's not been one of these dudes that's always had his name in the police blotter. But, you know, I hope that it works out well. And I think the if there is a silver lining looking from the sports side of things for the Ravens, they don't have to do anything about this right now because the season doesn't start for another 6 months. So they have the luxury of just kind of laying back and seeing what happens. You know, maybe Ray Rice was completely in the right, or maybe, you know, he did something wrong, but he didn't strike her, you know, or maybe he did strike her and he's going to have to go away for a minute. So, you know, they have the luxury of being able to say, hey, we don't condone domestic violence, but we're going to sit back and see what happened with Ray.
Yeah, and expanding this issue further, a lot of people think it's foolish to compare NFL players to war, and to compare the game of NFL to war and soldiers fighting. And I can absolutely sympathize with them because of how dangerous and how your life is on the line with war. But I do think the comparisons are there, considering your career, your body, your health is on the line, how these people's life are on the line, as dangerous as football is getting as the years go by. And you see the Alzheimer's bubble. You see NFL players now, the concussions are leading to, like, you know, dementia. But I'm surprised I haven't heard of the PTSD bubble and the post-traumatic stress disorder that the NFL could be creating with these players, and that you have to toughen these players up. You have to make them a man. You hear of all the dangerous hazing that's going on. And maybe that's part of the problem that we see with NFL players, is that's why they have a trouble coping with society, is because of post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm just very surprised that nobody has at least investigated or explored that front.
Yeah, that's a great point. I was totally going to bring that up. You know, it's not just, you know, the CTE and the concussions and things of that nature, but there is, and again, we're not going to, you know, make the outright comparison that, you know, we're not Kevin Winslow. You know,
no.
I'm a soldier.
Soldier!
You know, the football is not war. You know, it's a game. It's a rough physical game, but it's not war. But there are aspects of the trauma and the violence that must be harnessed to play in the NFL, and then trying to live a normal life. And a lot of guys do it. Most of the guys in the NFL do it. But that doesn't mean that there's not a correlation between the violence and the aggression and some of these off-the-field incidents. And, you know, I think a lot of the off-the-field incidents get it passed because we love the NFL so much. You know, we were just talking about the NBA a little while ago, and I think some of these issues we've seen, like with Dante Stallworth, you know, in the car accident, mm-hmm. or with, I forget the young man's name that – killed his girlfriend and himself from the Chiefs last year.
Javon Belcher.
You know, if these incidents happened in the NBA, the critics would be going crazy in terms of, you know, this is what this league does. But with the NFL, there is so much goodwill and so much love built up for it that I think the NFL sometimes gets a pass on issues like this.
Yeah, and it's culture, it's philosophy, in that the NFL is a team-driven league. The NBA is a star-driven league, to where the coaches aren't the stars, the players are. You know, who's the biggest star in the NBA? You could say LeBron James. In the NFL, one year where Tom Brady got hurt against the game at the game against Kansas City, I believe in 2009, the ratings went up. So it's not a league that's dominated by any one player. When Peyton Manning was hurt, the ratings were still fine. They went up. And the fact that people have been trained to watch the NFL as a team sport, which it is, I think makes people difficult to identify as individuals. If you say one player who is wearing a helmet and who is very anonymous in the way he goes about his business in the NFL, it's very hard to come down on that particular player. But in the NBA, where you see the player and you could know him, you could point him out at a bar, I think that's what makes the NBA a little easier to judge.
Yeah, and again, it's a sad situation, and, you know, I would say that hopefully, you know, this turns out to just kind of be a misunderstanding or a drunk mistake, and, you know, Ray Rice can resume his life, and his fiance, Janae Palmer, can resume her life as well. But either way, it's not a good look for Ray Rice. And, again, you know, we don't know the whole story, you know, but as they say, a picture tells a thousand words, and nowadays in the age of video and social media, a video tells damn near a book. So we're going to leave it there. Again, hopefully everything works out for the best, but, you know, we'll keep you posted on the story. But we are going to end things off this week with, I guess this is going to be the last Olympic minute of the season. Big Nasty.
Brings a tear to my eye, but at least we get to hear that drop one more time.
Yes, Reggie.
I know you worked hard on it.
I know. You know, me and Reggie, we've been in the production booth all weekend, and yeah, I mean, I know you guys. That's what you wait to hear every week. So one last time, and I know Marcus is listening because he comes to the Kings of Sport for his Winter Olympic coverage. One more time, let's hear that song, and we're gonna come in with some Olympic coverage from Sochi.
I am feeling very Olympic today.
Let's get this mother crunk! Yeah! What? Okay! I love gold!
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Yes, we are feeling very Olympic. Brother Nasty, much like last week, kind of the only thing I've been interested in this entire Olympiad has been the hockey, so we're going to talk hockey. But before we get there, I know you and I share a common interest in probably the only other thing in the Olympics that interested us, and she didn't do too well.
Yes, are we talking about Lolo Jones?
Yes, we're talking about Lolo Jones.
Yes, yes. Yeah, my poor Lolo Jones. She still needs, maybe she needs some consoling or something. Lolo, if you have any type of sadness that you want to talk about, please, please come over to my place. I'll give you my address off air, and fight the good fight, girl, because you're going to be A-okay.
First of all, I'm mad that you're being selfish, man. Like, first of all, why didn't you invite her to the show first?
Well, that's part of my grand scheme. You don't know what my plots are.
then you can take out to Jabbar and get a free drink.
See, that's why I keep you around, Nate. You're my love consultant.
The love guru and not that terrible movie with Mike Myers. Which was terrible. But something that was good in The Love Guru actually wasn't, but at least it's some sort of tie-in, was it was about hockey. And like I said, the U.S. hockey team doing work, man, doing work. They beat the Czechs.
Yes.
5-2, dominated them. This is what you call domination. It's a combination of skill and concentration. And they're going to face Canada in the semifinals.
It's going to be a great game. And you know, I've gone on record in saying that the Cold War with the United States and Russia isn't over. You saw that with how the media covered the problems in Sochi and what was real, what wasn't. But I think there is an even bigger Cold War, pun intended, in the Cold War on ice between the United States and Canada. This is a rematch of the gold medal game in 2010 where Canada squeaked by the United States in one of the best hockey games I've ever seen. It was one of those games that I remember watching the entire thing, even though I'm more of a casual hockey viewer. And so this is the type of thing that I think brings people together. It's going to be one of the bigger draws in the Olympics because hockey is readily identifiable with a sport that's consumable in America in the NHL. So we're going to see the United States best and Canada's best. And I felt like the United States was happy to be there the last time they played Canada because hockey is their sport. But I really do think the United States has a much more talented team taking the ice, especially with Jonathan Quick, who I think has been playing better than expected. And it's going to be a great game. I think the United States has got Canada.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's something to be said for momentum, you know, and the U.S. definitely has that. You know, I think beating Russia was kind of, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, you're confident, but then when you kind of pass a hurdle or pass a roadblock, kind of like you remember when the Bulls for so many years had to get by the Pistons?
Yes.
I think, yeah, there's always such a thing, even if Russia's not Russia like it used to be, they're still, in hockey, they're still one of the best in the world. So overcoming that obstacle, overcoming that hurdle, I think, gave a lot of momentum and a lot of confidence to an already strong U.S. team. And, you know, no disrespect to our brothers up north, and I'm not saying this just because things didn't work out in Ontario. For me, it's no sour grapes on the Kings of Sport podcast. But I'm going to go with Big Nasty. I'm going to say in a reversal of the women's final from the day, which Canada won 3-2 over the U.S., I'm going to go the opposite and say the United States men beat the Canadian men's team 3-2.
I like that. You know, I'm going to stick with you. I think that's going to happen. I like that 3-2 story. A very prophetic win for the United States over Canada because the United States women lost earlier today, which is Thursday, was very heartbreaking.
Yeah, they take that serious. I remember, what was it, last year? Was it the last Olympics when they had that all-out brawl on the ice?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I think that was more exciting than the Rousey-McMahon fight's going to be this weekend.
It was. Cat fight! That's the only thing that was missing was Joey Styles out there on commentary.
Yeah, Joey Styles should do hockey.
He should.
Oh, man. So, yeah, big up to the Olympics. Props to all the folks that won in Sochi, and for those that didn't, don't feel too bad because we didn't know you're going in and we're not going to know you're going out. And that was your Kings of Sport Olympic hockey recap.
It's a good minute. It was a good ass minute.
Yeah, it was a real good minute. We can't guarantee it's going to be a long time, but it was a good time. So that's going to do it for the A Block this week. Coming up next, man, you're talking about a Cold War. One of our favorite subjects is coming back on the Kings of Sport, and maybe we'll get to hear from one of our favorite guests. I just don't know. Boo. Stick and stay. More Kings of Sport after the break. So you think I'm alone?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week, placetobenation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
What's that? Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
What's your one-stop home for your pop culture needs? Of course, PlaceToBeNation.com. We have everything you could ask for when it comes to pop culture. Now first, wrestling. We're definitely your hookup for all show recaps, including Raw, SmackDown, Impact, Ring of Honor, all of WWE's other programs as well. We have previews, live blogs, breakdowns for all WWE and UFC pay-per-views. You want sports? No problem. Place to Be Nation has extensive articles on football, basketball, MMA, boxing, and baseball. From Andrew Reich's history lessons to the return of the hack to the Cowboys call, we have the best and comprehensive sports knowledge and opinions. With a loaded staff of hardcore pop culture writers, we also specialize in comics, TV, music, movie pieces. Of course, you can't forget Jen and Justin's journey through the 90s. You want podcasts? Well, look no further than Place to Be Nation, the home for the best catalog and variety of shows you'll find anywhere on the net. There's the Place to Be podcast, where the big boys play, the Brad and Chad show, Wrestling with the Past, Titans of Wrestling, Goodwill Wrestling, Richard and the Mailman, Grapple Talk, and the Kings of Sport with our good friend Nate Milton. Want to take a second to thank our supporters and ask you to check out their great sites. Graham Cawthon and the History of WWE.com, a complete archive of wrestling shows throughout history. Also, our friend Dave at TWFNews.com, your home for wrestling news updates and great conversation. Also, check out PiledriverWrestling.net for all the latest wrestling news and the home of the great Old School Wrestling Review podcast and much more. And while you're at it, if you want to chat with fellow fans about wrestling's past and present, check out Scott Keith's blog at RSPWFAQ.com. So for everything you need, your pop culture fix, check out PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in the pop culture world.
It's not just any day. It's Mr. Throwback Thursday.
Hey, everybody. You remember when hip-hop was full of dope MCs, fly DJs, and human beatboxes? We do, too. My name is Jamie Robinson, and people call me Mr. Throwback Thursday. And along with my co-host, Bill Winters, we take you back to that better time. So come join us every Throwback Thursday for some classic hip-hop discussion, a few tunes, and check in on some people you thought weren't even out there anymore. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and always at our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheMrTBT, or just search for Mr. Throwback Thursday. We're the only one out there. And always remember, new school stale, old school fresh.
I'm not mad at him today. And like I said, if he was to walk into the room, I could say hello because they cost me nothing. If he was to call me, I would definitely answer and say, have you found a team yet?
And the answer is no. And he probably won't find a team at this rate. So
I don't know. Maybe. You never know. Boo.
We are back on the Kings of Sport, Brother Nate and Brother Nasty holding things down.
And I think I finally realized why Brother Marcus isn't here this week, Alfred. It's because he knew we were going to play the Hollywood censor clip, and I think he's having flashbacks, he's having bad memories. Like, I think he's having you talk about post-traumatic stress disorder earlier.
Yes!
I think, yeah, he's like waking up in the middle of the night, cold sweats, just like Hollywood. And you know, his fiance is like, "What's wrong, baby?"
Now she goes, "What's wrong, boo? Don't call me boo."
Yes, yes, poor Marcus, man. So, yes, we are back, but we need Brother Marcus to get well and come back next week, on Sunday, matter of fact. We got a big show coming up, a special show, a bonus show that we will tell you folks about later on in the broadcast. But let's get into this Kerry Rose thing. And before we do that, though, Big Nasty, I do want to send a shout-out to our new sponsor, the good people at Amazon.com. Yes, Amazon.com. You can get movies. You can get clothing. You can get electronics. You can get DVDs. You can get books. You can get audiobooks. You can get MP3s. You can get video clips. I was on there a little while ago, and I saw they had a 30 for 30 clip with Lolo Jones on for only 99 cents.
I'm all over that one.
Yes, I bet you are. And if you want to go to Amazon, because I know you're there anyway, you're buying merchandise, you're buying things, why not help out the podcast that you know and love so much? And the way you can do that is by going to Amazon through us. And the way you can do that is going to astore.amazon.com/THKIOFSP-20. Now, I know that's a long title right there, but let me go back and give you that address again. It's astore.amazon.com/THKIOFSP-20. And for those of you that could not follow that, don't worry, because we're going to tweet it out. We're going to put it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/KingsofSport. We're going to let you know how to find it, because we definitely want you to help us help you help us. And speaking of help you help us, Kerry Rhodes, just when you thought you was out. Was that the Godfather? Just when I thought I was out. They keep bringing me back in.
Pulling me back in.
Yes, which is probably not the best terminology. Talking about this story. But Kerry Rhodes, I guess, has talked to Yahoo Sports and said he once again reaffirmed that he is not gay, but also said he was not blacklisted. I guess this is coming off of the heels of the Michael Sam announcement, and also kind of the discussion of would the NFL accept an openly gay player. And Kerry Rhodes has said that, you know, he was not blacklisted. He says, I don't think anybody in the NFL would do that. It was a product of me wanting to do other things and not finding the right opportunity. What do you think about that, Big Nasty?
I think this reminds me of The Sixth Sense, spoiler alert, to where everybody knows that Bruce Willis is dead in the movie except him. And Kerry Rhodes seems to be oblivious to all the indicators that he has, in fact, been quietly blacklisted from the NFL. He's a very talented safety in a league that cannot get enough talented defensive player given the opportunities and advantages the offense has in the NFL. And a Kerry Rhodes on any team would be a welcome addition if he didn't come with the baggage that he did. You can disguise it any way you want to where it's too much off the field baggage, as they would say, or there's too much of the distraction. But Kerry Rhodes, the minute this story dropped, he's somebody who's always been able to find work, whether it was with the Jets, whether it was with the Cardinals. He's somebody who's still a top-ranked safety, graded out in the top four last time he was assessed by Pro Football Focus and the respected elite analysis. But Kerry Rhodes has not found work. So as long as he is out of work, given his talent, I will assume that he's been blacklisted.
So you're saying he's got somebody sitting in his house looking at him talking about, I see gay people. I'm sorry, my gay brothers and sisters, but I had to take that joke. I had to do. But, you know, not only did he talk about his talent, you know, because I think even with a year out, you know, he's still, by any measure, you know, still a top 10 safety. But I think even more telling than that is his age. You know, he doesn't turn 32 until August. He's still a viable player. And in the NFL, we've seen they've employed racists. They've employed people that have financed dog fights. They've employed people that have killed people with drunk driving. They've employed a lot of people who you probably would not want coming to dinner. Shout out to Brett Favre showing pictures of his little gunslinger. Pew, pew! But for Kerry Rhodes, you know, I think, and you can take what you want to believe from Hollywood Simpson, but I do think the thing that he said during that interview that did ring true to me was, if you are real, that I think that even if you are gay, if you're real about it, I think that you will gain respect. And I think that, you know, maybe there is a part of the NFL right. that is not looking at him
right.
because of the rumors. But I do think if he stepped up and said, hey, I'm gay, you know, this is what I do, you know, and I'm proud of my lifestyle. And I'm proud of who I am. I think you'd see a lot of teams, or not a lot of teams, but at least a couple teams say, hey, I want that guy on my team because he can play, because he's, you know, honest with himself and with everybody else. And also because, cynically, there's a gay market out there, gay NFL fans. And to be the team that is the first team. Like, you remember when, I mean, you don't remember, obviously, but for, like, our fathers and grandfathers that loved the Brooklyn Dodgers, even though they were nowhere near Brooklyn or nowhere near the Dodgers, they loved them because they were the team that gave Jackie Robinson an opportunity.
Right.
And I think there's a team out there that would have a windfall, both economically and both in goodwill, by, you know, being the team that has the first openly gay player.
Right, and we talk about being real. Okay, there's damning evidence out there, but what if Kerry Rhodes isn't gay? I mean, we can entertain that thought. There's nothing that, if he says and he's insisted he's not gay, and
then you had the worst luck in the world, brother.
He does. Okay, but if he's not, I still don't think that this should be an issue that keeps him blacklisted. Now we're saying that from this vantage point, he's going to have to come out and accept this lifestyle that he doesn't want to accept, that he's saying that does not belong to him in order to play in the NFL. I think that should be his business. And yes, it gets broadcast on TMZ. Yes, he's a public figure. But after a certain point, this is the type of issue. This is a safety. He's not running a franchise. He's not the quarterback. He's not somebody who is going to be exalted. He's somebody who's going to go into a locker room and contribute to an NFL team. And I don't think these issues warrant him being blacklisted from the NFL.
I don't think so either. It's not like he's a marginal player. The dude can play.
Right.
So, you know, again, you talk about accepting life changes and life differences. Hopefully things work out for Kerry. But there's another person who I know you are quite fond of, Big Nasty, that's going to have to accept some life changes here that when the next NFL season rolls along. And that's your boy, Shannon Sharp.
Oh, Shannon. Oh, Shannon. 10 long years, buddy.
Shannon Sharp no longer on the CBS NFL on CBS crew, getting the boot. They just traded him for another tight end,
pretty much
bringing Tony Gonzalez onto the team. And what do you think about that? First, do you think Tony will be a good fit? And second, do you think, like, if anybody they could have removed from that lineup, I would have probably removed Boomer or Dan Marino, because I think they were great at one point, but now they're just kind of stale.
Yeah, you definitely get the sense that Dan Marino was phoning it in a bit. And I'm with you. I would have removed Boomer before I would have removed Dan, just because of Dan Marino's credibility and accolades. And Boomer is a great analyst, but if Dan Marino's Dan Marino, and he was very good at what he did off the field when it came to being a broadcaster.
You don't need Tony, two quarterbacks either, I don't think.
No, not at all. You've got the coach. You've got the quarterback in Dan Marino and then Boomer Esiason, who, yes, they can probably see the game more, and they would probably be able to give a perspective that's better than most, given how much a quarterback has to be part of a team. But I think you're fine with Dan Marino, and I think Tony Gonzalez is going to do a great job. He's got a great personality. It's just been one of those things to where it's like Peyton Manning. There's this broadcasting chair that's people are lining up already to sign him to a TV deal when he's done playing football. And I think Tony Gonzalez he's somebody who's an activist. He knows how to talk, and he had a great career. And I think it would have been fun to have two tight ends on the show, especially two tight ends who are as good as Shannon Sharp and Tony Gonzalez are, because you know tight ends are prone to talking trash, being those wide receivers, more than a quarterback is. So maybe you would have gotten some of that marketable tension between Tony Gonzalez and Shannon Sharp as to who the better tight end was. We would have seen that play off on TV, and that's more fun.
And all the NFL teams these days are going to those two tight end sets. Why shouldn't the broadcast move?
Exactly.
But, you know, you talk about Peyton Manning. I think he will be a great broadcaster one day. The only thing I worry about with Peyton is if he tries to throw it back to the booth, it's going to get intercepted by Richard Sherman.
Oh. Oh, you went there.
I went there. But Tony Gonzalez, quick story. I went to the Pro Bowl, I want to say about 9 years ago now, maybe seven, somewhere in between 7 and 10 years ago in Hawaii, of course. And I was in coach. You know, my father was a Navy chaplain, and he was one of the chaplains for I believe the NFC. And so we're flying back. I'm flying back. And I'm just sitting next to this nice Mexican family, and we just talking, having a good time. And they say one of their relatives was in the Pro Bowl. And so then the next thing I know, the stewardess comes back, and she's like, excuse me, sir, do you mind the gentleman in first class? This is his mother, and he wants her to sit in first class. Do you mind if he comes in back and sits here? I'm like, no, I'm cool. You know, I don't care. And so I'm listening to my music. I think at that time I probably still had the Walkman. Listen to, like, New Edition on tape.
There you go.
And I look over, and it's Tony Gonzalez. And me and Tony Gonzalez had this really cool conversation for, like, 30, 40 minutes before he went back up to first class to sit with his mom. And, you know, he's telling me he was headed out to L.A. to do some TV projects. I think it was when he was on the George Lopez show. And you can just tell he's a great personality. He signed my autograph. He signed his autograph on my cover, Sports Illustrated. I was reading, also on a ticket from the Pro Bowl. And he was just real personable. Was real nice with his family and everybody that was back there in coach. And so I think he's gonna do great. I think he's got the personality. He's got the knowledge, of course. Hall of Famer. So yeah, I think it'll be a good fit. Sad to see Shannon go because I think Shannon, as well as Sterling, I don't think Sterling gets enough credit for being a broadcaster. I think those two guys, they should have their own show. Like, they should start.
Or a podcast. You know, nobody's unemployed in this world. Once you lose a TV job, you can go to podcasts. You can go all over and find work with the digital age.
Yeah, I think my next show is going to be a podcast with Shannon Sharpe and Sterling Sharpe, and we're going to talk about we're not even going to talk about sports because that's what the Kings of Sports is for. But we're going to talk about, you know, eye issues and vision because, you know, especially black men don't take good care of their eyes. So it's going to be me and Shannon and Sterling Sharpe talking about vision, and it's going to be called Sharper Image.
Wow. You've been thinking about this. This is wonderful. I hope Shannon is listening to this. But you know what? If the Sharper Image doesn't work out, I'm sure the NFL has openings on the NFL network now that Darren Sharper is gone. So.
Yeah.
Now,
I was going to call him for the Sharper Image, but then I was like, nope. Nah, I don't need those problems.
That Sharper Image is going to start to get blurred and you're going to black out.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. So, yeah, good luck to Shannon Sharpe in his future endeavors. And good luck to Tony Gonzalez on the NFL and CBS with James Brown and those boys up there. So, that's going to do it for this week. Again, we said it was a quick episode. We're going to have a good time. This ain't going to be a long time. But before we get out of here, Big Nasty, why don't you let the people know where they can find you and follow you and argue with you?
Talk to me and argue with me and troll me so I can troll you right back at This Is Nasty. That is at This Is Nasty. Or go on Bleach Report, watch the videos, read the articles. Happy to have your support. Happy to have you on board.
You can follow Brother Marcus Vandenberg and, send him your kind words of encouragement and support as he goes through this rough time. You know, just waking up in the middle of the night in cold sweats. He couldn't even go to the Laker game last night because all them boos, everybody's booing Dwight. Who said boo? Who said boo?
Who told you about that?
You can follow Brother Marcus at Marco Will on Twitter, MarcoWill, Marco Will on Twitter as well as Instagram. You can follow me at N8, MozaiK, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow all of us at CosPod on Twitter, KOS_POD. Check us out on iTunes and Stitcher. Share the show if you like it. Again, thanks for listening. And if you like it, again, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with your friends. The month of February is still with us, so you still have time to go to Podcast Land and vote for the Kings of Sport as the podcast of the month. Do it for Black History Month. Do it for us.
Please.
Yes. I have a dream. One day, black podcasts and white podcasts can sit together at the table of brotherhood. But it can't begin until we get Podcast of the Month in February.
Otherwise, the revolution will begin.
Yes, and it may not be televised, but it will be podcast.
Amen.
Yes, and don't forget Place to Be Nation, our friends at PlaceToBeNation.com, your spot for the latest and greatest in the world of sports and entertainment and pop culture. I have a weekly column there where I review TNA Impact, so it should be up, you know, on Saturdays usually, so check that out, and check out all the shows on Place to Be Nation. So I think that's going to do it for this week, Big Nasty.
I feel good about this week, man.
Yeah, I think we put in a solid effort.
Yeah, I thought it was an A for effort. I think we were A-plus players today, you know? Usually we hover around a B-plus, but we were A-plus effort.
Yeah, you know, we stepped up today. We stepped up. You know, we ran through the tape. Shout out to Chris Webber and Kenny the Jet Smith. If you don't know what that means, Google Chris Webber, run through the tape, and have a laugh for the next 5 minutes.
Phenomenal.
Yes. So that's going to do it for this week. Again, thanks for listening. We will be back on Sunday with a very special edition of the Ringside Wrap. I know some of you wrestling fans out there are like, they didn't talk about wrestling this week. Well, that's because we're going to talk about wrestling for at least an hour. On Sunday night after the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the WWE Network launching, the road to WrestleMania, and we'll probably spend a few minutes reminiscing over Viscera, a.k.a. Big Daddy V, a.k.a. King Mabel, Nelson Frazier, who passed, Wednesday night?
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, again, you know, he wasn't the most graceful worker. He wasn't the biggest star, but, you know, if you were a fan of wrestling in the 90s, you know, you remember Mabel, Big Daddy V. So we're going to talk about him on Sunday as well. So check out the show. Download the show, and we'll see you. I guess we'll see him Sunday, Big Nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it. Have a great week for Big Nasty Alfred Cunnell, for Marcus Vandenberg. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. And you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD. Or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, thanks, thanks.